Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York Giants football content all day long, while your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com. Rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. There's adult content ahead because you know we're doing it live. Roadhouse sitting here in the power chair, and on the line we have the Disciple and Rahway Tommy. On today's episode, we're going to quickly shed the Eagles' blooding of the New York Giants. As always, we'll take stock of Daniel Jones's future in the Daniel Jones court and look ahead to next week's primetime playoffs come early game against the Washington Commanders. All right, Disciple, take us away.
Well, I knew it was going to go one of two ways. Unfortunately, it's the second. I mean, the first. It was either going to be a blowout of epic proportions, and it was. I mean, the Eagles nearly dropped 50 on us, which you really, really hate to see. There were so many Eagles fans in the stadium. I had to hear fucking fly, Eagles fly, six times. Just incredibly unfortunate day for us. I thought that maybe if the Eagles team that showed up for the Colts or for the Commanders, we'd have a good shot. It was not that team. And we were just outmatched at every phase of the game, man. It's tough to see. It's a good reality check for us. We're not in the same weight class as the Cowboys and the Eagles yet. We're getting there. We've overachieved so far. We beat some sucky teams. But it was a really, really, you know, numbing and humbling look at what's to come. Even if this team does make the playoffs, they probably can't beat a real contender like that. I mean, right, anything Tommy. Can happen. But
Tommy, what do you think? Well, in the words of the late, great Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. You know, they looked bad against the Commanders one week. They looked bad against the Colts, and they won. But, I mean, they kicked the shit out of the Giants on Sunday. There was no point in that game. You know, when we scored, it was 21-7. Did you feel like, all right, yeah, we're going to – here we go. We're going to come back. We just all the little things. You just see their roster versus our roster. We're not tackling. The punter almost picked up a first down on a blocked punt. I thought he had the first down. Thank God he stepped on the white line. You can't fall on that ball and get an easy touchdown. You know, so even when the plays we made, the ball doesn't bounce the right way for us. And they're just a better team. And it's clearly been...
Yeah, that was. I mean, it would have been nice to keep the game close. Obviously, a win would have been amazing. But no one really expected that.
It's a tale of two seasons right now. They were 6-1 to start the year. We're 1-4-1. It would have been nice to stay in this game a little bit, you know, fight with them, you know, punch back. The one frustrating thing you look at, we're 0 for the NFC East. You know, that tie is the only bit of success we've had in the division. Numbers-wise, this wasn't the most yards given up. Jacksonville did that to us, 453. They gave up 437 yards. The real, you know, butt-kicking part of it was the 253 that they put up on the ground. They just ran at will, picked up 27 first downs. And like the Disciple said, you know, I wasn't in the building, but I'm sitting here watching at home. If you stepped away for a second and something happened, you didn't know who it was, because that building was popping for the Eagles. I thought they were playing at the Link. I think that was just a combination of events. You had the bad weather coming. I think Giant fans kind of expected Sunday to happen, and I'm sure a lot of those tickets got sold or given away, and, you know, to Eagles fans, and they were able to pretty much pack the building.
Well, plus Philadelphia is such a shithole. Most people that are from Philadelphia move north, so that explains them. You know, that no self-respecting tri-state resident would ever move to Philadelphia. So, you know, this is what happens. But the only thing, we're going to move on from this game, but I would just say that, you know, the Eagles are the most complete team in football. Unfortunately, it makes me sick, and I hope they drown a metaphoric death. They have an all-pro offensive line. They have excellent cornerbacks.
I think they have the. I think right now the season ends today. I think they have the league MVP. I think Jalen Hurts on the ground and, you know, in the air. The one more thing I wanted to touch on this football game is, you know, some of the injuries that we saw. You know, Leonard Williams was out. He doesn't play. You know, that hurts the defense. Pass rush up the middle, run stopping. I think we should have waved the white flag and completely sat Saquon Barkley. I think that's kind of what was going on. He was there for if we kept the game close and had a puncher's chance. I think he plays a little bit more. He looked all kinds of padded up, shoulder, neck. I don't know exactly what it was. But honestly, I think he should have just been inactive. And, you know, Sunday night's the playoff game. You got to beat Washington. This loss doesn't really hurt you.
Nobody thought we were winning this game anyway. You know, you looked at it on the schedule a few weeks ago. You're like, that's not looking good for us.
All right. Well, nobody wants to listen to, you know, a funeral. So let's move on.
And one at a time, you can all suck my dick. City of brotherly love, you bunch of fucking cocks.
Now for our weekly segment, the Daniel Jones Court. Daniel Jones' entire season is an audition to be the long-term answer for the New York Giants. Jones, 7-5-1. However, until a new contract is signed, the jury is still out. What did you guys think that his performance did to earn or lose him a contract for next season?
I don't think he did anything. I think with the situation we were in going into this game, the only thing he could have done is hurt himself. And I don't think he did that. I think he just kind of treads water, stays where he's at. You know, he didn't put up any great numbers, but he's kind of consistent with what he's done all year. He was 66%, you know, completion percentage, 169 yards and a touchdown, ran another one in, only had 26 yards, ended up getting outrushed by Tyrod Taylor. Craziest thing I saw on the internet this week was, see, I told you we should start Tyrod. But we all know we don't go to social media for our news, whether it's Giants or world news. So we'll stay off of that. But I don't think he did anything to hurt himself. I don't think this is on him. When Richie James is your leading wide receiver and you have no Saquon Barkley and the game that, you know, was lost still not on you, I think he's still playing to that contract that I've been talking about. You know, where we kind of try and sign him. I do think you saw NJ.com had a nice article today about four teams that might be in it for Daniel Jones. One being our division rival, the Washington Commanders. Indianapolis Colts were another. The Carolina Panthers. The fourth team escapes me right now. But there's going to be a little bit of competition. You have some teams that have shown they'll go that veteran route, somebody that's proven that they could play in the league, maybe not at the highest of levels, as opposed to, you know, maybe you don't have all that draft capital to get the top one or two quarterbacks in the draft. So there could be a little competition. I don't think he hurt himself.
So, I mean, the more I watch, it's like you have to ask yourself, is he making a difference, man? I just don't think he is. He's not winning the game. He's not losing the game. But it's just like mediocre at best, man. I don't know how far he can take us. Even if it was a more complete team, I feel like he would. Like a lot of people posted the All 22. Nick Filato of Big Blue Banter does a lot of great film, but he was missing some guys that were wide open, had a few steps. Yeah, the offensive line wasn't holding, but, like, you have to see that. Like, even Dable called him out and said, yeah, for whatever reason, we couldn't capitalize. We had some good chances where our receivers got separation. Is it the time? Is it, you know, I don't know, but.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think Daniel Jones is a capable NFL quarterback. I think he's a pretty good player. But like John Mara said, the team has done nothing but shatter his confidence, give him nothing to work with, and maybe he's just snake bitten. And he's
what if he doesn't even want to stay? Do we even think about that?
He's a North Carolina guy, so if you know, we don't put some kind of tag on him, which I'm not saying we should do, but if we don't put some kind of tag on him and they offer him some money to come down there and they clean house in the quarterback room and he goes down there and has a chance to start at home, does he go somewhere else where he's?
Well, aside from that, I mean, listen, I like Daniel Jones. I hope he comes through, but look what a guy like Brock Purdy can do when a team is around him. I hate to say it, you know, but he's done it 2 weeks in a row. Look at Mike White. These guys who have playmakers on the outside, they have strong offensive lines and good defenses. It's really hard to ignore those looks. That's to say, if we could get Daniel Jones on a backup deal and start him, I would be happy with that. But
yeah, I would too. But I just, how much is he willing to, you know, help out a team that's a little, I mean, the salary cap is looking good for next year, but this year, obviously terrible. I don't know. I still don't know. And if, like I said, if you don't know yet, is the answer yes? Like, I don't think it is. I'm sorry.
Well, I will say the great.
I don't know what the alternative is. I don't know if you're gonna trade away future draft picks to trade up and get your guy. If that's what you believe in, if you have a bridge quarterback like a Tyrod Taylor that going into the season, and you're gonna build the team around for a few years until, and then you get your franchise quarterback on a rookie deal where you can make a run. That might be the plan. Like, the Giants are playing the long game. Like, you saw from Joe Shane, he's like, yeah, we're 6-2 at the bye or whatever. We're not making these crazy, we're not doing a crazy move to get a wide receiver in here. Like, we're staying the course, and I have to believe in him right now until he proves me wrong. There's been a few, you know, mishaps with the GM and the coaching staff letting Bradberry go when you really, really needed to keep him, even if you had to move the, you know, heaven and earth to do it. And the coaching staff, I feel like, has kind of declined these last few weeks. You know, Wink Martindale letting up 48 points yesterday was not a good look.
Let's stay with the quarterback.
Okay. I'm just saying, well, it's all together.
It is all together.
If you move off of him, I just think you're really playing the long game. I think this year is a wash, and next year becomes year zero of the rebuild, or day one is training camp next year. If you bring in a rookie, or if you bring in a bridge guy and draft somebody, or go, I'm going to get a bridge guy, and we weren't high enough this year, we'll see where we go next year. These guys don't come available. If you can get them on a reasonable deal, I'm gonna go and say, I'm Joe Shane, and I'm still at that 3 years, 75. We get a little competition, maybe 3 years, 80. I read the transition tag article, which is 1 year. At $28 million, we get the right to match any deal. Somebody blows them out of the water, you know, see you later, good luck, goodbye, and then we'll figure it out from there. We only put us on the hook for $28 million. That's a few million dollars, about $4 million under the franchise number. So I'm at 3 years, 75 to 80. Keep.
All right, disciple, the season would end today. You're Joe Shane. What are you offering or not offering, Daniel?
I don't think I'd go more than 3 years, 60, and I'd do a team option after two or something like that. Opt out. 20 per year is the most I'm going.
Yeah, you know what? The great Tony Dungy recently said in an interview, he said, you don't replace coaches or players and anybody else unless you have someone that can do the job better. And frankly, the way he's been mishandled, unless you can get him on a cheap deal, I think you could do just as well building around the team and getting a rookie quarterback or a bridge quarterback. I like Daniel Jones. I wish him the best. I hope he does. I hope he stays with the Giants. But the only way for me, that would be a 2 year bridge deal, you know, in the teens, $18 million a year. If you can get better elsewhere, c'est la vie, and best of luck to you.
Absolutely.
And with that, the court is adjourned. Okay, now we're going to move on to a new segment called Playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Even when the Giants were at 7-2, no one in their right mind thought they were going to win a Super Bowl this season. Making the playoffs this season is this team's Super Bowl. Can they get there? And how could they do it? Disciple, when you look at the next four games and the competition, the four teams that are competing with them, or the three teams that are competing with them for two spots, that's the Commanders, the Seahawks, and the Lions. How do you see it shaking out come week 18?
It's going to be tough. I mean, the Lions are a better team than their record says. I mean, they're almost 500, and they can win out. I mean, I think the Lions are a huge threat because, you know, they beat the Vikings, who are supposed to be a contender. Are they frauds? I don't know. We also have to play them Christmas Eve, which is going to be hopefully a good game for us. You know, you never know what might happen. But the Lions have the Jets, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Packers, all very winnable games for them. They could end 10-7, and they could take the sixth seed. So I really want to split the last four for the Giants. I mean, it's got to be the Commanders and it's got to be the Colts. Anything besides that.
Does 9-7-1 get him in? And if so, how?
I think 9-7-1 gets you in. I think obviously that one win has to be Washington. And I think you beat Washington and Indianapolis. That puts you at 9-7-1. There's an off chance that they could beat the Vikings. If, you know, Kirk Cousins comes out and has one of his Kirk Cousins games where he just stinks up the joint and it's just you need to stop Dalvin Cook, I like our chances. It could happen. We've played well this year at times. I think those two wins get you in, though. And I think that Washington still ends up in if they split. I think they could beat the Browns. The Cowboys have been up and down. I could see them beating the Cowboys. That would put the Cowboys in. And then the Browns win. We're both 9-7-1. The Giants get the 6. Washington ends up in the 7. Seattle, I think, at best is looking at 9-8. And if Detroit goes 3-1, they're 9-8. That tie.
So let's look at these teams real quick. This is from I think it was from NFL.com. The Commanders in their last 8 games are 6-1-1, and the Lions have won 5 of their last 6. Whereas the Seahawks and the Giants have been sputtering. The Giants are 1-4-1 in their last 6. And the Seahawks have lost 3 of their last 4. What do you guys make of the momentum going into the final 4 games? Is that a good thing, or is that meant to change? Is it just part of a cycle of the season?
I mean, I think it's a cycle, but I think Detroit is on the upswing, and with what they have left, they could run a table and go 4-0. But if we beat Washington, them finishing 10-7, they're ahead of us. The Giants would have the tiebreaker on Washington. I think we're in. I don't like Seattle.
Would they have the tiebreaker Washington because of its their division and conference record?
How did they do it? Head-to-head is the first tiebreaker. So if we both finish 9-7-1 and the Giants win this week, that's the tiebreaker.
They're 1-0-1 against them, yeah.
Now, if you had sat and the Giants had lost and we won this week, the split, the division record would have hurt us. Because I think Washington finishes obviously with a better divisional record. So the tie really, we win this week, beat the Colts. The tie may have really worked out for us.
I mean, yeah, it's four teams fighting for, you know, two spots.
I got to think that the Lions are gonna sputter. I mean, they got to go to the Jets. The Packers are still
hopefully
be
the Jets can do us a favor and hold them off. Seahawks against the 49ers.
The Panthers are a little scrappy.
They are.
You know, the Bears are going to be fighting hard. I think to say that they're going to get to 10 wins is a stretch.
But it's not impossible.
They close with the Packers, but at that point in the season, it's a lost year. Is Aaron Rodgers even playing? He's banged up.
They think that Jordan Love is going to request a trade out of Green Bay. I mean, that's another avenue to possibly, look at. But I don't know. That's irrelevant right now. The Seahawks also have a pretty tough schedule. 49ers, Chiefs, and Jets.
Yep.
And then Rams, which are probably going to lose that game. Unless, I mean, Broadway Baker Mayfield coming down. He looked pretty fucking good after only 2 days on the team. So, I don't know. Hopefully the Niners and Chiefs and Jets can win. I feel like nothing matters if the Giants lose this game Sunday. Literally
exactly.
Nothing matters.
Thank you.
This is like...
Thank you for that segue. Thank you for that segue. And so I think the one thing that we can all agree on, moving on from our segment of playoffs, but if the Giants have any hope of saving their season and making the playoffs start this week in the nation's capital.
Party at the Moontown.
So now it's time to go quickly into our segment, Four Down Territory. And this week we look at the top four factors that decide the Giants' fate against the Commanders.
All right, so first down is the Giants need to win the field position battle. I mean, it seemed every time we gave Philadelphia the ball back, they had it in our territory or very close to our territory. We have got to pin them back and give them a long field to work with. And we have got to avoid the three and outs. I mean, you need at least a few first downs and just get some chunk yardage, man. You run the ball right at the offensive line. It's a yard, it's two. And they're just not being able to convert. They don't have that reliable target on third down to get that first that you know your sure hand is going to catch the third. Like, anytime the Giants get a first down, it's like, ooh, look at us. It's our lucky day. When other teams just, like, live off first downs, man. Like, it's just like the offense has shell-shocked me, honestly.
I think it's spot on first down field position, but it's so sad that when your team is like, no, we don't need to score points every time. We just need to avoid three and outs and get some yardage. But the fact of the matter is that's the way this team is built. So are the Commanders. So I think you're absolutely right. Avoiding three and outs, winning the field, keeping on the plus side of the field is going to be huge.
And that was
second down.
Second down. You guys led me there when talking about time of possession and no three and outs. And the first drive of the Eagles game, when we picked up a first down and ate up some clock, I'm going, this is what we need to do to stay in the game. Unfortunately, we then went three plays and punted and only ate up about 2.5 minutes on the first drive. But like you said, it's sad when that's what you're excited for. We need to dominate time of possession against a team that leads the league or is right up there in terms of time of possession. So we need to stop the run. We need to shut down Brian Robinson. We know what they're going to do. It's going to be Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. They'll move Heinicke around. He's pretty athletic. They're going to sneak in some runs with Curtis Samuel. So we need to watch those things on third down, you know, and shut down this run game, because the defense, now obviously we were outclassed. The team that was playing against us on offense was much better and has better weapons than Washington has. But the defense looked like Swiss cheese. They're breaking tackles. All kidding aside, we had a punter run for 10 or 15 yards, picking up a ball. Like, now I know that's a broken play, but, you know, special teams, we weren't making tackles. On defense, we're not making tackles. We need to come do that. We need to shut down the run. Hopefully we get Leonard Williams back, and he's there, you know, with Dexter Lawrence up the middle. And we shut down Robinson, Gibson, and, you know, Curtis Samuel, and dominate time of possession.
We're not going to be shutting anybody down, but I definitely think if
containment. It's all about containment.
Extended drives, not shut them down, but shut down those extended long drives where our defense is out on the field, because then the end of the game comes and we got hands on hips. They've been on the field the whole day. It won't be a good end of the day. But if we can cut those drives a little short, get them off the field and, you know, keep them out of the end zone, force field goals, you know, stuff like that.
All right, let's move on to Disciple. What do you have for third down?
Third down is enough with the back-breaking penalties. How about, you know, I still can't get that image out of my head of Feliciano flexing and that stupid-ass penalty taunting. And you know what? I'm sorry. I hate to say it. I hate to be that guy. But John Mara being on the competition committee and having the emphasis on the taunting is exactly what I knew was going to happen one day. I said, one day, this is going to bite the Giants in the ass. Sure enough. All he did was flex his muscles. Every player does that every play, dude. Are you kidding me? And the NFL fines him today. That can't happen.
No, sorry. Veto that. We're only 6 minutes into this.
The holding, the false starts also. You have young offensive lineman Evan Neal, who you hope is going to, you know, take the next step next year. Andrew Thomas didn't have a great game yesterday. He had a good game, not a great game. He did let up a sack, I believe. It's going to happen. It's a tough defensive front, but it's like, you know what I mean? No delay of games. Like, the discipline hasn't been great, and that needs to change.
Yeah, you're like, right. You know, in the first half of the season, when they didn't have those penalties. If you look at the stat, that line, they seemed like an extremely disciplined football team. But hey, you know, that's the NFL's a grind. There's a lot of new players in there, a lot of players that weren't on the team in training camp, if you're being honest. But it also is just a state of the team. You know, if you can't come overcome penalties, it means you don't have that much firepower. But that's the fact of the matter. So let's move on to fourth down.
All right. Well, you know, we saw these guys a week ago. So we know Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen. We didn't see Chase Young. He still hasn't gotten on the field. So if he does make the field on Sunday, coming off their bye week, hopefully, you know, he's still on a pitch count. But we probably, if he plays, we see him in, you know, pass rush situations. So Evan Neal is going to need to play better. You know, Thomas did have a rough day on Sunday. You know, Gates, Glowinski, the rest of the offensive line, we have to give Daniel Jones time. We have to get creative, and like we were early in the year where we're moving him around and he's doing things on the run and he's getting a little extra time, because we know these guys are going to be pressuring him all day long. The rest of their defensive line and linebackers to complement that, you got to protect him. We got to play better as an offensive line. It's got to start to improve. I know these may not be guys that outside of Neal and Thomas that are going to be here next year, but we need to play better. We need to protect him, give him more time.
Let's roll right into Huge Predictions. Huge Predictions is not brought to you by Fusillo Automotive, but we are working on it. So if you know their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. All right, this week we are putting our panel on notice. Are you in or are you out? Is this team going to the playoffs?
I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
I want to say yes. My heart wants yes, but my brain says no.
Well, which is it?
I'm going to be that guy. I think it's going to be a no.
So you think that you're predicting loss at the Commanders, or you think they're going to beat the Commanders and then lose three?
I don't know. I really don't have a good feeling about this game or the next few games. I just think all their luck kind of ran out. Their favor with the football gods ran out. And they feel flat. I don't know. You go down, like, I mean, I don't want to say anything. Obviously, you know, Mac and I were drinking in the parking lot, but it was 21-0 before we even got in the stadium, dude. Like, the Giants are just not built to keep up with that kind of, you know. And they went down 10-0 against the Commanders the first time, but like, I just really, I don't like what I'm seeing right now.
All right, Tommy.
Washington and Indianapolis get us to 9 wins, and we're making the playoffs. I think 9-7 gets you in. Because that puts us in the sixth spot if Seattle or Detroit doesn't move up past us. And like we already said, Detroit to move past us needs to go 4-0. So we don't have much room for error, but I think these are two winnable games. Daniel Jones, over his career, has played well against the Redskins football team Commanders. I think we go in. I think we win on Sunday, and I think Daniel Jones gets it done with his legs and through the air. Pushes 300 yards, rushes a touchdown in, and we win on Sunday. And on to the Colts, and can we beat them? Can we steal a win against Minnesota on Christmas Eve? But I think a win against Washington and a win against Indianapolis gets us in. So let's just take care of business where we need to and stay healthy in those other games. And like you said before, anybody that's a Giant fan signs up for the playoffs this year and is thrilled. They're in the playoffs. You're not a joke around the league anymore. You're not hearing shit from Jet fans and Philly fans, although you might if they run the table and go 16-1 and planning their Super Bowl trip. But you're not an embarrassment anymore. And I think a win on Sunday gets us moving towards a spot, you know, in the postseason.
Well, here's the final word. The game this weekend is the Giants Super Bowl. If they win this game against the Commanders in Washington on Sunday night, they are going to the playoffs. Simple as that. The Seahawks, if they win that game and then they can eke out a win in one of their other three games, the Seahawks have got the Niners, the Chiefs, the Jets, and the Rams. They will likely lose three, probably two. The Lions only need to lose one of these games at the Jets, at the Panthers, Packers, and the Bears. They lose one game, the Giants will be in. It all comes down to beating the Commanders. Will they do it? You got to believe. They will eke one out. They will beat the Commanders this weekend. They will eke out a win, some ugly win somewhere else. And that is it, gentlemen. That is the Super Bowl. Making the playoffs is the Super Bowl. And that's all we have to look forward to. All right, let's not bicker over who killed who. Let's end tonight with the fact that the NFL just isn't aware. The Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
All right, for the Disciple and Tommy, I'm Roadhouse, and we're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.